From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. This is the divisional week, and we are off and running. Preparations are being made for the Cleveland Browns to come to Arrowhead Stadium. We're all looking forward to it. We have some news for you. We're going to take a look at what the playoff picture goes outside of that, and then we're going to get into those matchups. One player in particular coming back to Kansas City that is going to raise a lot of eyebrows. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host over at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. I hope you are enjoying your new year. And there is a lot to talk about. And your particular player that you're talking about on the Browns, I think that's kind of an overblown situation the way people are trying to put it out there right now.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has emotional reactions. And I think that's kind of what Mondays are for, right? So let it ride. And we'll take a deeper dive into what things actually mean. But a couple of good pieces of news for the Chiefs in particular, but I'm interested to see which one you think has the biggest impact.
Anthony Hitchens coming back, in my mind, is the biggest impact by far.
Yeah.
You know, people want to give him a hard time for his play and whatnot, but compared to what they've got left on the roster at the position, man, that's a huge, bringing him back is huge, especially when we don't know about Neiman or Gay at this point.
Yeah, I mean, hands down. And I'll still criticize him for some of the play or his style of play, but he is clearly a number one LB on this team, and having him back in the fold over what has been kind of a prolonged COVID absence, to tell you the truth, I think that's a big, big boon. I honestly don't expect them to get Neiman or Gay back this week. So with Damian having played the last couple of weeks, and I think they took him out precautionarily last week, 17, he didn't play like the last quarter, right? And I think that's okay, because I think you needed to knock the rust off of him, and now you can have at least your starting pair to go with whoever that dime backer is going to be, right?
Yeah, he didn't play, but your boy Saunders did, and I know you enjoyed it.
Dude, I'm telling you, the more I watch that, the more I'm just like, you know what? They want to run Nick Chubb. I am slamming him into the A-gap all day long.
I don't think Saunders is going to be active for this game. I could be wrong. We'll see. It's going to be interesting, because if they don't have Neiman or if they don't have Neiman or Gay back, maybe you do activate Saunders and let him play that big role, especially knowing who you're going against. And I know people are going to laugh at that, but it's not a bad idea to have him. If he can play that one specific role, I guarantee you Wilson and Hitchens know what they're supposed to be doing at the other linebacker positions, that they could play different roles specifically for this game if they need to.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, call me a broken record, and we'll revisit this in the off season because there is an opportunity there. But this is a time when this team misses Reggie Ragland, because he could come in and do a number of different jobs for you right here and help you round that thing out. Like you said, there could be a game day roster spot available because of the other guys not being there. Maybe you take a chance, and if nothing else, it does deepen your rotation at tackle. Maybe that's worth it. I just don't know.
Yeah, well, it could deepen your rotation at tackle, and it gives you the ability. Well, if you're looking at the fact of not having linebackers in general, I would think you would want to go deep at that position, knowing that Saunders could step in and play if there's another injury. That's the other thing, is who's going to play if one of those guys gets injured during the game, God forbid. So that's an issue. We do need to mention this really quick in the news, because we didn't mention this yesterday. Five Chiefs made the All-Pro team for AP. Travis Kelce, the only Chief that is unanimously voted first team All-Pro at his position.
That is saying something, though. Unanimous across all those voters. I mean, it helps when you're breaking records that have stood for quite a long time, but still, that's he and Aaron Donald. I mean, that's it. Okay, arguably the best defensive player in this league, and Travis Kelce, who, no offense to the tight end position, is generally an afterthought in terms of the weaponry being in the passing game at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, no, I would completely agree. Then you also have Tyreek Hill, that is first team All-Pro, and Tyrann Mathieu, who is first team All-Pro. Patrick Mahomes is second team All-Pro. Hard to argue. I really feel like this is probably going to be the way that the MVP is going to play out as well, is, and Chris Jones is second team All-Pro.
Mm-hmm. I can't argue necessarily with either of those, given that we're talking about Aaron Donald, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, I unfortunately think that you're probably right.
I don't think it's fair for Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best season of Aaron Rodgers' career too. So like he's getting that Russ Wilson treatment where he's coming up against the peak of somebody else.
Well, he's coming up against the peak of somebody else, but the problem is what he's also going to be compared to what he did his first year that he won MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And when he only plays 15 games, I mean, how are you going to compete with 50 and 5,000 yards? He would have got 5,000 yards if he played 16 games,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't play 16 games. So, you know, if you're looking at yards, who cares? And yeah, I know he threw a lot of picks late, but man, his season was still pretty special. And honestly, he's easily the Chiefs MVP. I do think Travis Kelce needs to be winning the Offensive Player of the Year personally.
Yeah, I do as well. We'll just have to wait and see what actually happens. Coming up next, we got to take a look around the league at a couple of points of interest that are Chiefs related, as well as what the playoff picture is. And then later in the show, we're going to get into some of the primary matchups, the grudges, you might want to say, about this divisional game, Chiefs versus Browns. Are you ready for some football? The playoffs here, the postseason is already rumbling in the NFL. It's a really exciting time to be an NFL fan, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today and get a free account on BetOnline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus.
Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Go check out BetOnline.ag.
Now, I know you have a good one that we need to get into about what else is going on besides the Chiefs action this game, but Doug Peterson got let go today, and I think normally I wouldn't bring that up on Chiefs-centric show. I'll save that for Locked On NFL, but this has ramifications because not only did they let Doug go, but immediately Mike Kafka's name was brought up. Do you see that happening?
I could see it happening. Honestly, with the whole Doug Peterson situation, to me, they said he was safe before week 17, and then he goes and pulls what he did. I hate saying this out loud, but I have to wonder if the league put pressure on the owner, honestly, because to me, I would think that as a coach, you would have to have ownership approval to do what he did in the fourth quarter and then to just be let go after the season. I mean, that seems a little suspect to me, but honestly, I think his decision to begin with to sit Hurts in the fourth quarter was a chicken crap move.
Yeah, I mean,
we've already discussed that.
We have, and I had a number of quick discussions today, too. I think it comes down to this, is they realized at that point that it was, especially when he gave his plan of not really looking for outside talent, not looking for changes outside the organization, just promoting from within in terms of his staff. That tells you that everybody who said yes or was on board with him before was going to be there when he made a decision about Jalen Hurts. And I think this whole thing comes down to the organization sees Doug as either Doug or Carson. And I think they're trying to salvage their draft investment. I think they're trying to salvage what they can. And that particular move, even if he was just trying to say, what can I get out of Sudfeld? Can I verify that against Hurts? I think Hurts had already given you enough information. I think Hurts is the real loser in this situation.
Absolutely. And honestly, you know, Wentz is going to probably be in Philadelphia unless they find some way to get rid of some of the cap space. But I really can't see that being the case. So Wentz is going to be there. So he's going to have to be probably the starter next year. And Hurts is really going to lose out in that situation. It's a horrible situation for the Eagles and for that whole thing. You know, I do think that Kafka could be a guy that they look at, but maybe Bieniemy is a guy that they look at as well. I'm really starting to wonder at this point, though, if Bieniemy is going to get a job this year. I hate saying that, but man, it is just seeming like this is the same thing year after year.
I agree with you. It does seem like it's the same thing. This seems a little bit different to me is that we haven't seen the progression of what, a week already from Black Monday, that we haven't seen a slew of coaches hired. So it tells me that there's a lot of emphasis on the playoff coaches, and I think that doesn't necessarily put him out of the running. I still feel like Atlanta seems to have solid interest, despite what Aaron Wilson had to say. And I think that hurts the Chiefs organization long term, but we all know that one was coming. Kafka going somewhere was a little bit more of a surprise to me. We know that's out there, but I felt it was more of a long shot. To hear him mentioned today already kind of threw me back a little bit.
No, and I get that. I think that it's possible just because you know, Lurie obviously respects Andy Reid, but the funny thing about that is that would mean that Kansas City would go to Andy Reid's coaching tree for two of their last three hires. I mean, the last one worked out okay, I guess. Peterson got him a Super Bowl, but they don't have that QB anymore in Nick Foles, which, funny enough, I really can't say that Nick Foles won that Super Bowl. That's a whole other argument to make. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's a weird situation. Man, that is just a horrible situation. I'm glad we are not having to deal with the Philly team. Let's go ahead and move on, though. I want to mention this really quick. There's two things that have just crossed my timeline on Twitter really quick. I want to get your take. Average age of the four remaining AFC QBs, 24 years, 344 days. Average age of the four remaining NFC QBs, 37 years, 77 days.
Yeah, I mean, this is the culmination of what we've seen of, and quite frankly, Mahomes is the outlier for the younger group, right? Because he's probably the least quote unquote mobile of the younger group, right? But I think that's really where the defining line is. Over the last, what, six seasons, we've seen the mobile quarterback become more and more apt to this system. We've seen the spread offense become more and more apt to the NFL systems. And the hangers-on, the elite quarterbacks of their generation, are still the guys that are still running those NFC clubs. And, you know, that would have been a little bit different if Tom Brady was still in New England, whatever. But I think it's very much a defining line between old school and new school here.
Absolutely. And you look at the AFC, and the AFC was actually the better conference this year, which I think it's been a couple of years since I think I could really make that argument, at least on a very easy call basis, as opposed to, you know, in previous seasons where it might be a little bit unclear. One other thing really quick, Jared Valdir played for the Colts last week. He is now signing with the Green Bay Packers.
Right. He will be the first player in history to play for two playoff teams in one season. And that is only because he was on their practice squad due to the expanded practice squad rules because of COVID. And he was a game day call up for them last week in the playoff game. So technically he wasn't on the 53, which allows him to go elsewhere. I think it's crazy just how many asterisks are going to be in the record book after this season.
Absolutely. But it's still fun to talk about. And it's one thing just to mention, although obviously we don't think Kansas City is probably going to be going down that road, but they could, essentially.
You never know. I mean, and there's going to be some twists and turns on a number of rosters.
They get this.
You know, it won't be just that. Yep. The interesting thing is what happens to the other two teams. And I know this matchup is really intriguing, the other divisional game, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. You start looking at the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens, and honestly, from where I'm standing, you start looking at this game, and this couldn't have played out better for Kansas City. You know, the Browns have some weapons, and we do need to talk about that here in a second, but man, Bills versus Ravens, they're going to beat each other up.
Yeah, and I think that's beautiful. I thought the Titans would have done the same thing if they had gotten in this position. They lost Moss in Buffalo. I think that is a loss for them. And that, I think, degrades a little bit of how physical they can be. And I think allows the Ravens defense to step that much more into what they did yesterday, which was buy full in about being physical. And I think that's something that, like you said, plays right into where the Chiefs want to be a week from now. That's a good spot. Why don't we take our second one? And right after this, we'll come back, talk Cleveland and some of the matchups that, you know, we have to get out of the way. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics versus us do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it doesn't require membership or an account login.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know what we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. You know, I have to say this just because I think it's kind of funny. Somebody tweeted out, and it was somebody with a blue check mark. I think it was Tony Grozy. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was him saying that the Chiefs gave up on Kareem Hunt. Yeah. I'm sorry. That is not at all what happened.
Come on, folks. Blue check mark doesn't mean that much.
No, it doesn't. But honestly, I'm just sitting here going, how do you look at what happened with Kareem Hunt and you say that they gave up on him? He lied to the organization. Any organization with a grain of salt and a good feel for themselves aren't going to put up with that and aren't going to put up with a liar, with a player going to the owner and lying to his face.
Yeah, I mean, that's just basic. Take it off the field. That's, you can't trust somebody like that. And once you lose trust in somebody, why pay them? This is not anyone giving up on him. And quite frankly, they stuck by him more so than I think a lot of teams would have, to tell you the truth, because the Chiefs try to be loyal to their players and understand what's going on in any given situation. I think it's funny the way that that happened.
Absolutely.
I think it's funny the way that he said, hey, this team's going to be personal. Make it all personal as much as you want. I don't care how many friends you got in there. This team is aimed on another Lombardi. You're just a blip on the radar, bro.
Now people are going to call me cocky and you're the one calling them the blip on the radar. Fair enough. You know, you look at this game though, honestly, and I do think that Cleveland could make some waves against Kansas City, but the problem that they're going to have is their defensive backfield is horrible. I mean, Terrence Mitchell used to be in Kansas City and I really defended him for years, but he's in Cleveland now. And if they get Denzel Ward back, which it's expected that they will, he'll help, but he can't help them contain this offense. And I honestly think that it's going to be a lot better off than it was the last time we saw it.
Yeah, you're at,
and I'm not talking about week 17 because I can't count that.
No, don't. And A, you were a glutton for punishment back then. And B, I don't think Mitchell's gotten better at what he does now. C, good luck with Sammy. And we don't even want to talk about Tyreek in that matchup. We'll just move on from there. But I also do want to say, I think Ward will help steer where they have to put the ball, because I think if he is healthy, I think he is a solid player, and that is something they have to take into account. And I don't mean to discount Hunt. I think he is going to be their biggest weapon on offense. I'm just saying, don't try to make it like this whole game is about you, Kareem. This is, you're just one guy that's on a 53 in their way, but they do have to go out of their way to manage him.
No, that's fair. No, and that's absolutely fair. I will say this, though. The big question that I'm going to have is, who's Cleveland going to put on Travis Kelce? Because that's going to be the biggest question for them that they have to answer. Obviously, you have to answer, how are you going to take care of Tyreek Hill? How are you going to take care of Sammy Watkins? How are you going to take care of, I think Kansas City will have Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. I think that's going to be a huge addition as well. He will be coming back fresh. I think that's going to be fantastic for them. But who are you going to put on Travis Kelce? Because right now it sounds like, I believe it's B.J. Goodson, has an injury and he's going to play through it. Good luck. Yeah,
I mean, that's tough. And I know that the defensive backfield there doesn't have the depth to really try to roll something brand new out.
Right. And honestly, I know Goodson's a linebacker and he's one of their better defenders, and I get why you'd want to play through it. But you're going up against the best tight end in the NFL. And if you're going to go out there injured and you're going to be 60%, Travis Kelce was probably going to have his way with you, even if you were at 100%. If you're at 60%, man, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. And
yes, I will sound cocky on that one, and I don't care.
And hey, that's okay. You know, and sometimes that's the way that it boils down. And quite frankly, if they're smart, and I do feel like Stefanski's staff is less stubborn than we've seen in years past, I think that goes for Andrew Berry in the front office as well. But I do expect them to take hints from what we've seen be successful against the Chiefs offense. And that is playing deep coverages, playing two high safeties, making them take the underneath, making them run the ball. And I think really it's going to come down to Hunt on that side, I think, has the biggest mismatch. I think Travis has the biggest mismatch on that side. The question mark for me is, do they finally turn Clyde loose in the passing game? Does this become, hey, remember what Kareem used to do? Well, this guy can do it now. I think that could be in the offing.
Could be. And also, if Clyde's back, I mean, what do you do with Le'Veon Bell? I honestly would not hate them going to a split back set for a couple different plays and just throwing that wrinkle out there, because I do think that they have an advantage with the players that they have. If Le'Veon Bell didn't have the skill set that he does, I wouldn't say that. But with Le'Veon Bell having the skill set he does, Clyde Edwards-Helaire having the skill set he does, and you still have the ability to put Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill on the field with whoever else you want to throw out there, whether it's Watkins or Robinson or Mecole Hardman, good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough
one. Good luck defending that.
And especially if they do kind of play like I expect them to play, 3 and 4 deep, that's going to make it feed Travis, feed the backs out of the backfield until you just happen to get that right look. And that will happen. And then you can hit Tyreek, and then you can hit McColl, and good Lord, I'd feed Sammy off the go too. Just try to get those slant things moving.
Well, and you mentioned it right there is, you know, you're eventually going to get that look. The Steelers last night, I remember watching that game. The Steelers waited for their corner, and I can't remember the corner's name for Cleveland. It wasn't Mitchell. It was one of their other younger corners. They waited for him to be single high. Ben saw it, and they burned him for a touchdown immediately. Mm-hmm. If you think Patrick Mahomes isn't going to take advantage of something like that, you haven't been watching him play because he will definitely know that.
Right, and I think that's what it
comes, especially with the weapons.
That's what it comes down to, I think. It's not just – I don't think cover three is going to work any better either. We've seen some teams be somewhat successful with that, but the significant thing for me when I look at who's been able to slow them down the most is when teams can disguise having an open middle with two high safeties. I think that's the recipe that if you want to start from there and then disguise and move on from, you can, but I just don't know that the personnel's there. I think at the end of the day, they're going to be able to move the ball pretty willingly. Without a whole lot there. I don't expect, obviously, like we talked with Matt yesterday, the turnover situation. We're going to dig into all these matchups as we go through the week, but right now I'm feeling pretty good about this matchup.
I am too. I got to say one last thing and I'm done. The other thing that teams have found successful against Kansas City when they have found success is teams that have fantastic defensive lines. If Olivier Vernon was going to be able to play in this game, I think it changes it for Cleveland a little bit because Myles Garrett can get pressure on Mahomes. But without Olivier Vernon on the other side, I don't think Cleveland's defensive line is going to be able to do what other teams like the Chargers have done, like what the 49ers did in the Super Bowl last year. Those teams with absolutely dominant defensive lines have given Kansas City trouble, especially with their problems on the offensive line. But I just don't see Cleveland having that ability.
I have to agree with you. I think there's one more major one that we're going to talk with Matt about tomorrow. I think you guys will all recognize that one. Matt Derrick will be back with us from Chiefs Digest tomorrow. We'll go through even more aspects as we get to do this run-up. Two little notes, if we didn't mention it before, Mike Dana's back from COVID as well, and Marcus Kemp is coming back as well. So I can't remember if we hit that or not, but I wanted to make sure you guys got those. So anything, last thoughts?
Yeah, and we will have the crossover episode on Thursday as well.
All right.
Just want to throw that out there.
I think that's enough for a Monday night. Enjoy the championship game. Well, I'm about to go watch it. Thank you for your time and listening to us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.